And if you're able to remain standing, please do so out of reverence for God's word. And our scripture lesson this morning, as you can see, comes from 1 Corinthians 14, starting in verse 12. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. Here ends our reading for this morning. Let's bow our heads as we prepare to reflect on God's word here this morning. Well, Lord, again, we thank you for this time that we are able to gather together. We thank you for the gift of your word which you have given to us, both for our instruction, but also, Lord, to point us to the wondrous salvation that you have provided to us. And we pray, Lord, that as we listen today, that you would help us to be receptive to your word. Our sinful nature, Lord, is stubborn. It often doesn't want to hear what is said, especially when it relates to our wrongdoing. But help us to hear, help us to receive, help us to repent, and help us, Lord, to look to you for the grace and the forgiveness that you graciously provide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, most of us were fascinated by that which is exciting. We're enthralled by those things that are flashy, and it's this. It's the showy things, it's the thrilling things that always tend to capture our attention. And we can see this in many ways. This is one of the things, for example, that many of us love about the circus. We like it because while we're there, we see things that we don't see every day. I mean, we see things like people getting shot out of a cannon, right? We see things like an elephant standing on a ball. We see things like motorcycles racing around inside that sphere, and they're not crashing into each other. And again, it's just amazing to watch. And we see people doing acrobatic routines up on a high wire far above the ground. I'm sure that many of you remember it, but when I was young, there was a TV show that was on, and I always enjoyed watching it, but it was that show, Ripley's Believe It or Not. Do you remember that show? And we liked that show because it was all about those things that are bizarre. It's all about those things that are unbelievable. All of the stories were so strange that as you watched them, you wondered if these things could possibly be true. I don't know how many of you have been to Wisconsin Dells, but they have a small museum there that it's actually called the same thing, Ripley's Believe It or Not, and it's based around the same thing, but it's this that makes it so interesting to us. It's also this that attracts us to things like concerts and sporting events. The atmosphere is just so fun. It makes you want to be there, and not only does it make you want to be there, it makes you want to come back again and again. And this mentality has also found its way in the church. Many of us, we tend to think, for one, that if we want our church to grow, we have to make it entertaining. We think that if people are going to want to come, we have to make it flashy and fun. And the church as a whole, you know, it's tried to do this in various ways. In much of the church of today, they've done this by turning worship services into a rock concert. They've done this by using smoke machines and laser lights in the sanctuary. They've done this by incorporating video and drama into the services. And they've done this by turning the messages into a comedy routine. And this way of thinking has also found its way into our understanding of the spiritual gifts. It's found its way into our use of the gifts. And it's, quite honestly, distorted God's purpose for these blessings that he lavishes upon us. It's twisted the way in which we are called to make use of them. Now, last week, you may remember, we talked a little bit about the gifts themselves. And we did so in the context of the calling that God gives to us as his people. And I conveyed to you that the gifts that he gives to us are an individual and a specific calling upon our life. What I mean by that is, as we see the gift that God has given to us, that's his calling for us to go out and to use that gift for the blessing and for the benefit of others. And we see this, for example, in Romans 12. Starting in verse 4 of that chapter, here's what the Apostle Paul writes. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. And so we are told here, and it's more fully explained in 1 Corinthians 12, but we are told that we are a body. And what Paul means by this is that we are one entity as the church. And we all have a different function. We all have a different role to play that contributes to the well-being of the whole. And for this reason, as we see in this passage, we are called to make use of these gifts that God has given to us. And we are called to do so in proportion to our faith. In other words, it corresponds to our faith. It's a response of our faith in him. As we trust in the Lord for his grace, as we trust in him for his salvation, and as we look to him and trust in him for every blessing that he bestows upon us, we make use of our gifts. We make use of them knowing that these are a gift from his hand, and we make use of them knowing that these are given to us for the good, for the well-being of the church. So Paul says, if your gift is prophecy, then prophesy, right? If your gift is service, then serve. It's as simple as that. If your gift is teaching, then teach. If your gift is exhortation, then exhort. If your gift is leadership, then lead. If your gift is giving, then give generously. And if your gift is showing mercy, then by all means show mercy. Use the gift that God has given you for the benefit of the church. However, our desire for the flashy and our desire for the exciting, it often leads us to emphasize and even to pursue certain gifts more so than others. It leads us to desire certain gifts more than others. And quite often, this desire causes us to misuse the gifts that God has given to us. Now, one of the gifts, and it's talked about in our lesson for this morning, we're going to get into this in detail, but one of the gifts that God gives, but also that tends to get misused in the church of today, is that of tongues. And this is a gift that we are drawn to, I think primarily because it's exciting. We are drawn to it because as we see it being used, it's mystical. It's mind-blowing. Some of you've been in the Lutheran church your entire life, and perhaps you've never seen the gift of tongues being used. It may be something that's completely foreign to you. But if you've been in an environment or in a situation where you've seen the gift of tongues being expressed, I think you'll admit, especially the first time, the second time, it's very exciting. It's astonishing for us to see someone, or maybe even many people, who are speaking to the church, or perhaps even just praying in a language that they have never learned. I've encountered it many times, on many occasions, but one time, I remember visiting a Pentecostal church while I was in college. And while I was there, many people were speaking in tongues. In fact, there were some who made sure that every time they spoke in tongues, they were in front of a microphone. Now, it was clear from this that they wanted to be heard. It was clear from this that they wanted to stand out. It was clear from this that they wanted attention and they wanted other people to see their gift in action. The problem, you see, is that this isn't the purpose of the gift of tongues, as we read about it in Scripture. The problem is that what they were doing was completely unbiblical. In fact, later in this chapter, Paul goes on to say that if someone speaks in a tongue, someone is to interpret what is being said. And if no one is there to interpret, he's to keep silent and speak to himself and God. And it's for this reason that I didn't stay for the rest of the service. I mean, it was a circus. Along with my friends, I got up and left. Now, those who, in some churches rather, let me back up. In some churches, it's taught that if you have received the blessing of the Holy Spirit, you will have the gift of tongues. They don't say that you may receive the gift of tongues. They say that you will receive this gift. And those then who don't receive the gift of tongues are made to feel less than. It's implied that they perhaps haven't received the Holy Spirit, or at the very least, they haven't received or come to a place of Christian maturity. And they are pressured to express this gift along with everybody else who is gathered there. And again, I don't know about you, but I've talked to several people over the years who have left Pentecostal churches for just this reason. They have admitted that because of the pressure that was placed on them, they faked the gift of tongues. They know of many others who have faked the gift of tongues, but they didn't like that pressure being constantly placed upon them. But this is a thought, this is a teaching that contradicts what we find in Scripture itself. In 1 Corinthians 12, for example, as Paul is discussing the gifts, he tells us that the Holy Spirit apportions the gifts as he wills. In other words, the Spirit of God decides who gets which gift. We don't decide. We don't decide for ourselves. We don't decide for each other or for anyone else. The Spirit of God decides. But in that passage, Paul says that to one is given the utterance of wisdom. To another is given the utterance of knowledge. To another, faith is given. To another, gifts of healing are given. And he goes on and on and on listing the various gifts. And at the end of this list, he says that to another is given the various kinds of tongues, and to another is given the interpretation of tongues. And the implication here is that not everyone will get the same gift. The implication is that not everyone will receive the gift of tongues. Now, some will indeed receive this gift. We shouldn't deny that. But others will receive different gifts. At the end of chapter 12, Paul then asks a series of rhetorical questions. And again, the implication is that not everyone will possess one and the same gift. The implication is that not everyone will speak in tongues. Starting in verse 27, here's what Paul writes. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the higher gifts. And so again, it's clear as we look at those rhetorical questions that not everyone will have the same gift. Now, in our lesson for this morning in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, Paul, he compares two of the gifts in particular. And as we look at this passage, we see that he is comparing the gift of prophecy with the gift of tongues. And in doing so, he makes clear to us the purpose of these gifts that God gives to his church. He starts out by telling the people to pursue love and to eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. They were especially, he says, to desire that they might prophesy. And last week, you remember, we talked briefly about prophecy and what it is. A prophet, we heard, is one who brings the word of God to the people. He is one who brings a message from God to his people. And this is exactly what Paul is referring to here in this passage. He then goes on to compare the gift of prophecy with that of tongues. And he says that one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. And he speaks not to men because nobody understands him. He is uttering mysteries in the Spirit. However, the one who prophesies, he says, builds up the church. And this, you see, is the primary purpose of the gifts that God gives to us. It's the reason for the gifts that God gives to us. For this reason, Paul explains, even though he wanted everybody to speak in tongues, he preferred that they would prophesy. In fact, he said, the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, and he is greater unless someone interprets, that the church might be built up. So again, there we see the purpose of the gifts for the upbuilding of the church. He goes on to say later in this chapter that he would rather speak 5 words with his mind to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. And again, he's telling us that the purpose of these gifts is to edify the body of Christ. The purpose of these gifts are that the church might be built up in Christ. Now, this is why, historically in the Lutheran Church, we don't emphasize the gift of tongues like the Charismatic or the Pentecostal churches do. Now, we cannot deny that it's a real gift, and for this reason, we cannot deny, and we should not deny, that some people legitimately have and make use of this gift today. But at the same time, we must also recognize that it is not the greatest or the most important of the gifts. It isn't the greatest or the most important of the gifts because, again, apart from interpretation, it does little to build up the church. When we think about the gift of tongues, we naturally, in our minds, go back to the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. We think back to the celebration of Pentecost that took place right after Jesus' death and right after his resurrection from the grave. And we think back to that Pentecost celebration in particular where the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church. And most of you remember how the believers were all together. They were all together when all of a sudden the sound of a mighty rushing wind filled the room where they were gathered. Divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they then began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now the word that we translate as tongues, it literally means languages. So when we say that they spoke in tongues, what we mean is that they spoke in other languages. They spoke foreign languages which they had not learned. Now at that time, you may recall, Jews from all over the world had gathered together in Jerusalem. They were there for the celebration of Pentecost, and hearing this commotion, a great crowd gathered together to see what was going on. And they were amazed because even though the apostles were from Galilee, they heard the gospel being proclaimed in their own language. And what this is saying is that even though the apostles were from one small region of the world, they were speaking in languages from all around the world. And that was amazing to the people. And this, you see, is what the Spirit enabled on that day. He enabled the gospel to go forth in the languages of the people who were there, that they might hear the gospel and that they might be brought to faith in Christ. And that's exactly what happened on that day. In this way, the people heard the word of God. They were pointed to Jesus. They were pointed to the salvation that he had provided for them. And ultimately, we find, if you read later on in Acts chapter 2, that a few thousand people came to faith in Jesus just that one day. This also revealed to the apostles that God had enabled them, he had empowered them to carry out his calling. He had empowered them to go out and to proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. He had empowered them to make disciples of all nations. And this was certainly an encouragement to them, as I'm sure they were asking themselves, how can we do this? And God says, here it is. Here's how you're going to do it. You're going to do it by my Spirit and by my power. And in this way, you see, the church was edified. In this way, the church was built up. It was built up as many people heard the gospel, came to faith, and became part of the church. And the church was also built up as the believers were encouraged by God in the calling that he had entrusted to them. Now, later on in the book of Acts, in chapter 10 in particular, we see that God gave to a group of Gentiles the gift of tongues as they came to faith in Christ. And again, he did so for a very important reason. In this way, he revealed to the church that the Gentiles were not excluded from the blessing of God. It was not only for the Jews. He did so to reveal to the church that God gives his Spirit to everyone who looks to him in faith. And the lesson in all of this is for us to realize the purpose of the gifts. And this also applies to the gift of tongues. They are not intended simply to generate excitement. They are intended to build up the church of Christ. Now, the way the gift of tongues was being used in the church in Corinth in Paul's day, you see, it did nothing to achieve that purpose. It did nothing to build up the church. And that's why Paul was explaining these things to them. That's why he explained to them that the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets. And this is why he says in verse 6 that if he came to them speaking in tongues, it would not benefit them unless he brought to them some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching. The key to our lesson for this morning is found in verse 12. And I'm going to put that up here. But again, here is the key to this entire passage. And Paul says, "So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church." In other words, instead of chasing after that which is flashy and exciting, we are to strive for the gifts that will build up the body of Christ. And for this reason, according to Paul, they were to strive for prophecy more so than tongues. They were to pursue these gifts that would edify the church. They were to pursue these gifts that would most build up the people in faith. And this, of course, applies to the church of today as well. It applies to all of us right here at Prince of Peace. The gifts that God gives to us, no matter what gift it is that you have received, it is given that through you God might work to build up his church. As we heard last week, the gifts that God gives to us are for the common good. And what this means is that they are not intended for the individual. Even though, yes, I might be blessed by the gifts that God has given to me, and you might be blessed by the gifts that God has given to you, that is not their primary purpose. Their primary purpose is that the body of Christ, that the church as a whole, might be built up. And this is how we are to use them. And this, you see, is where we tend to fail. Most of us, we tend to hoard our gift. We tend to keep it to ourselves. We refuse to use it in the service of others. And in this way, we never even allow other people to be blessed by this gift that God intends for them. For most of us, our purpose in coming to church is our own benefit. The reason that we come to church is our own blessing. Our purpose in our faith journey is our own salvation and our own blessing. If we're honest, we find that more often than not, we think very little, if at all, about the rest of the church. We may think about our family, you know, so that's outside of ourselves. We might think about our spouse and our kids, but we generally give very little, if any, thought to the other families, to the other individuals who make up the church and who make up our community. So again, we are focused on being built up, but we're not focused on building up others. We're focused on growing in our own faith, but we're not so much focused on helping other people to grow in their faith. We're focused on our own salvation, but not on the salvation of others in our church and in our community who may be lost. And this inward focus, this selfish focus, it often remains even when we serve. At times, it's sad to admit that our purpose in serving tends to be focused on ourselves. Maybe we have a distorted view of the gospel, and so our purpose in serving is trying to please God. Our purpose is trying to earn His blessing. Maybe we're instead trying to look good in the eyes of other people. Or maybe we're simply trying to do something that will enable us, that'll help us to feel better about ourselves. For some of us, we even make use of our gifts in a selfish way. Again, we use them in an effort to stand out. We use them in an effort, as I mentioned a moment ago, to make other people think highly of us. We use them in an effort to make ourselves look more spiritual than others, or more spiritual than we truly are. This is something I had found on Facebook a while back, and it captures this idea perfectly, because so often this is what we find in the church, isn't it? It's all about Jesus, but the spotlight is on me. It's not what God intends for us. And of course, this is not God's intention for the church. It's not His intention for the gifts that He entrusts to us. He desires to use us, and He desires to use the gifts that He entrusts to us for the upbuilding of the church. So where we have fallen short, may we confess that, and may we ask God that we might use His gifts rightly, and that we might serve and bless others in this way. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do again thank You for the gifts that You have given to us. And we thank You for them, recognizing that, Lord, we can accomplish nothing without Your strength and Your power. Everything that You have appointed for us to do in the church, it would go undone were it not for You, were it not for the Spirit of God. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to recognize that. But we pray also that You would motivate us, that You would encourage us to then use these gifts that You have given to us and to use them for the blessing of the rest of the body of Christ, that we might build them up in You, that we might build them in faith, Lord, that they might receive the blessings that You have provided for them, and that they too, Lord, in turn, might use their gifts to bless us as well as others in the congregation. We ask this all this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.